Carl made reference to her sermon this morning. Some of you may have looked at the title of the lesson and said, well, that's just a gimmick. No, it's not a gimmick. It's a reality. I had a debate many years ago with Madeline O'Hare's son, John Murray. I have a written copy of that. If anybody's ever interested in it, I can give it a copy to you. But he began by saying, well, I don't believe in God for the same reason I don't believe in Santa Claus. And my response to that was, why don't you believe in Santa Claus? Where's your evidence? And he stuttered around for a while, and then I said to him, you know, the evidence for God, the evidence for Jesus, is massive. And what you have shown is your ignorance of the nature of God. And I think we all need to perhaps think about that for a few minutes this morning. We're entering the holiday season. We're seeing signs like, put Christ back into Christmas. Several years ago, when I was doing the sign out there, I put up a sign that said, put Christ back into Christianity. Got some reaction to that. But see, that's actually happened in our culture. A lot of people, if you stop them on the street and you say, what's the difference between Santa Claus and Jesus Christ, they probably couldn't tell you. We tend to forget what Jesus is about and how he impacts our lives. We live in a materialistic society. And Santa is more popular than Jesus in December. If you don't believe that, just listen to your radio or go to the mall. So I'd like to point out some things that this highlight. Probably nothing I'm going to say here is stuff you aren't aware of, but have you thought about the implications of it? I mean, for real living. This has been quite a year, hasn't it? It's been quite a year. I look back there and I see Tina, who lost her mom. I look at Larry, who's having a battle with cancer again. I lost my brother and my son. Our brother Terry Adams is fighting for his life as I speak. It's been quite a year. One of the things we need to understand is the difference between what Jesus is about and what Santa's about at this time of year. Is that Santa is localized. And Jesus is everywhere. I've been in support of a lot of different efforts throughout the years. As a result of that, I'm on everybody's mailing list. Back in the back fellowship room there, there's a stack of magazines and calendars from these folks. They're doing good things. But a lot of the things they're reaching out to are people that don't have what you and I have. They don't have any money. They don't even have enough to eat. Come on, Santa Claus. Give him a loaf of bread. Come on, Santa Claus. Provide them a house where they don't have rain coming through the roof. In Acts 17, when Paul addressed a group of people who didn't understand the nature of God, he said, God who made the world and everything in it as the Lord of heaven and earth does not live in temples made with hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Because he himself gives to all men and all humans, life and breath, and everything else. Did you notice Bill's announcement? Who's the food bank going to? Is the food bank being unloaded at the American Atheist Center? Is the food bank being taken care of by people who are promoting the sales of Christmas trees? You see, our friends in the religious world, those who believe in Jesus, they may disagree on other things, but we understand that Jesus is everywhere and he addresses all needs. That passage in Acts 17 goes on and says, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Isn't it incredible that it doesn't matter where you go, Jesus is there with you? When you have an excruciating medical procedure, where is Jesus? He's there. Where is Santa Claus? Not in your thinking, is it? See, Santa rides in a sleigh and Jesus walks on water. Jesus has an awareness of our problems and he understands. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest that is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin." Most of you know that I got my third master's degree from Notre Dame University, and my department head was a priest who I grew to love dearly. And when we had some problems with a child who was born with multiple birth defects, during one of my class sessions, I was in tears about some things that were happening with Jim. And Father Murphy came over and put his arm around me and he said, "John," he said, "I can't understand what you are dealing with. I'm just a priest." And wasn't that an interesting thing to say? See, Jesus understands what it means to deal with a child born with multiple birth defects. As a matter of fact, one of the interesting passages in the Bible is Mark 10, beginning with verse 14. They brought young children to Jesus to have him touch them, hug them, and his disciples interfered. Verse 14, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and don't hinder them. For to those who are childlike, the kingdom of God behaves. And I say to you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never get into it at all.' And he folded them in his arms and blessed them." See, Jesus is so radically different than the physical beings we see in the world. Santa Claus, all the things that happen. As a matter of fact, Santa Claus fills your stockings with goodies. But is that what really counts? Is that your real needs? During the last couple of days of Tim's life, I was talking to him about the days he likes, and he said something to the effect of, Well, Dad, I won't. Don't guess I'll have my stocking this year. I said, yeah, probably not, Tim. He said, but I'll have something a whole lot better, won't I? Isn't it interesting that a mentally challenged child with an IQ of less than 50 can understand the spiritual? Matthew 7 and verse 7, Jesus talking says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who asks, the doors will be opened. You say, well, I asked for a gold Cadillac and I never got it. Yeah, that's Santa's business. Talk to Santa about the gold Cadillac. What really matters in life? When someone you love is dying, how much help is Santa Claus? When somebody is no longer there, how much help is Santa Claus? See, Santa Claus comes down the chimney uninvited. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Did you notice the song, the second song that Bill led today? Jesus is in the garden waiting. Waiting. Revelation 3 and verse 20, here I am, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. Jesus is seeking you, but he won't force himself on you. You have to stand in line to see Santa Claus. But Jesus is always there at our request. That passage in Acts 17, God does this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. Sometimes we have a problem we want God to solve in a certain way. And let me tell you, as the second oldest man here today, a lot of times what you find out is what you wanted is not what was best. And I go back to the old Garth Brooks songs, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Because sometimes the best answer is not the one we can ask for. You want to read a song that talks about that? Look at number 559 in your songbook. Number 559, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. What's the impetus of that song? When life gets hard, Santa Claus isn't going to help you, but Jesus will. And you will find strength you didn't dream you had. Jesus lets you rest in his arms. You ever take a kid to the Santa Claus at the mall? What's the first question that Santa Claus asks the kid? What's your name, little boy? And my oldest daughter said to the guy, well, you're supposed to know everything. You know my name, don't you? Santa Claus looked at my wife and said, get this kid out of here. Great lesson. Psalms 139 and verse 15, David writes, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Jesus knows our history. That can be scary sometimes, can't it? But he also knows our future. Every portrayal we see of Santa Claus is physical in nature. Santa has a bowl full of jelly. His belly shakes like a bowl full of jelly. Jesus has a heart full of love. What's the contrast? I hope, folks, that the coming to you today is a discussion that Santa Claus and everything associated with the Christmas season is physical in nature. And the difference between Santa and Jesus is that everything Jesus is involved with is spiritual in nature. And that's such a monstrous difference. We all know John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only and begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You never reach a point in life where you realize you're not going to live forever. You come to a point in life when you realize the new truck didn't go me a whole lot. The new house, even your physical health, is not what's the most important. God so loved the world that we should have eternal life. Don't lose sight of what really matters. I know I've talked about this probably more than I should, but one of the things that's been interesting to me about this situation with Tim is his focus was 100% on the spiritual, on what was going to happen when he no longer was in a body that was racked with COVID, with muscular dystrophy, with cerebral palsy, with blindness. Maybe we've had it so good we don't even think about the fact that there's something better than what we have right now. And all the Santa Claus pictures you can convey have no comparison to eternal life. And did you notice the approach that the promotion of Santa Claus does to us as opposed to the approach that Jesus brings to us? You better not pout. You better not cry. Why not? Because you're going to get a bunch of coal in your stocking if you do. Oh, yeah. What's happening? You have to achieve a certain level of goodness to receive the gift from Santa Claus. Have you ever dealt with a child that came from a home where there was no money and therefore no Christmas? You ever seen the look on the face of a kid when somebody says, well, sorry, you don't have anything for Christmas, you must have been a bad kid. Oh, I've seen that. Tried to address it. Some of my friends who are in the military talk about the Marines' Toys for Tots thing. And it was interesting to me because when I was talking to one of their guys, he said, you know the problem with this? Every one of us that has been passing out those gifts ends up broke. Oh, yeah. You saw a child that didn't have anything. And you looked at what you had. And it moved you to give. Come unto me, all you who labor, who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Is that Santa speaking? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a tragedy it is that we have people in the religious community who have put a burden on people in their faith. who have said, well, you've got to achieve a certain this or a certain that in order to have eternal life. That's not what Jesus says. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I need rest, don't you? I need a God who is gentle and humble. Don't you? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It isn't hard to serve God. Isn't it interesting that the difference is so striking between you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why, and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. You say, I'm not good enough to be saved. No, none of us are. None of us are, but that's not what Jesus says. The contrast between the material world in which we live and the spiritual world that Jesus is about is enormous. Santa makes toys, all kinds of toys. And Jesus makes a new life. Jesus mends hearts. He repairs broken homes. What do you want for Christmas? You want a new toy? Or do you want love? You want a boat? You want a car? You want a new color television? Or do you want to know that you have nothing to fear? That you don't have to be worried about what happens when you die or where mom is now that she's no longer here or our child that we no longer can see. 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, when the end will come, he will hand over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all domination, all authority, and all power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Top that gift. We sang a song, and Carl pointed this out. Santa Claus puts gifts under your tree, but Jesus became a gift on the tree. What a contrast. What a contrast. We read this passage in 1 Corinthians 11. I'm not sure we think about it deeply enough. Paul, reflecting on Jesus in his establishment of the Lord's Supper, said, quote, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So what do you want for Christmas? A new toy or a new life? How much help is that new book going to be when death comes? How much help is that new color television set going to be if you don't make a point of understanding that our lives need to be different? Romans, the 6th chapter, talks about having a new life. Read that chapter, because that's what the season is really all about. And I'm not knocking Santa Claus. But we need to keep it in the proper perspective. When my family got together for Christmas over those years, my brother Bill was a nut about Christmas. He put on a Santa Claus suit and played Santa to all the grandkids, all his children. One year, I got to tell you this story. One year, he gave the kids an Airedale. That's a dog, a very hyper dog. And he put the dog in the sack and brought the dog up from the basement. He was wearing a Santa Claus suit. He set the sack down. The dog jumped out and went boing, 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 boing. My mother started chasing the dog around the room. And after we all quit laughing, we had a discussion about what really do we want for Christmas? And you know what Bill's kids said? Where's Dad? See, it was the love of their father that was the most important to them. They could care less about the dog. Jesus is better than Santa. Jesus is different than Santa. Santa Claus promotes a lot of songs, a lot of fun, a lot of joys. But in our quiet moments with the Lord, let's thank God for Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me? Our Father, we are so weak and so easily misled. The things that are a part of our world that tempt us to put emphasis in the wrong place are highlighted at this time of year. And Lord, we are so thankful that we have a time when people are at least thinking a little bit about giving. We know that you have not commanded us to observe secular holidays like this in a way that would lead us into an obsession with materialism. But we're thankful that our music and our readings remind us of how much you love us, and how much you've done for us, and how blessed we are to have the material things we have, but especially to have the spiritual awareness that there is life beyond this life, and that you are looking out for us and caring for us, and not placing burdens upon us, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Help us enjoy the season, Father, but help us more importantly continue to be reminded of your love and your care, and that the Lord came to earth so that we could have this assurance, not just once a year, but every second that we live. Thank you, God. Bless us as we leave in our vehicles today, that we have this opportunity to be together and to think and to read and to study and to learn more about how we can give an answer to everyone who asks of the hope that is within us and the joy we have in being Christians. For we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. If you have a need you'd like for us to pray with you about this morning, or if you wish to be in obedience to the Lord, we have a closing song. Please come and respond to that as we stand together and sing. Bill?